Hey, this is Jason Robinson, the pastor of Church of the King, and I'm so pumped up that you're hanging out with us with our podcast today. I pray that God really speaks to you and that you're encouraged and inspired to live your life with everything you have for Him. Hey, I want to encourage you to check us out over at cotk.org. You can go there and learn all kinds of things about us and when our service times are. And speaking of our service times, I would love to invite you so that I could actually meet you personally on one of our weekend services. I promise you, your kids will love it. You'll have a great time and you'll have a blast. I pray today that God speaks to you through this word. God bless you.
All right, all right, all right. Well, good morning. It is good to see everybody. Good morning, church. It's good to be with you. If it is your first time here, I am Pastor Jason. I am PJ, Jason, whatever you want to call me. I'm the pastor here at the church. Excited to have you with us. I like to look on the screen. So everybody who's watching on the screen, wherever you may be watching a screen, online, whatever it may be, just want to welcome you. So glad that you're a part with us. Can we give it up for everybody who's watching online? Awesome. I'm feeling a little pressure. First off, it's good to be back in the pulpit. It's been a couple weeks. It's good to be back with you, and feel a little pressure. When I was walking in, I was talking to a couple different families right here, and one said, hey, this is the second time I've ever come, and I've heard a lot about you. I heard you're really good. It's like, ooh, pressure. Then I went to the next row in front of them, and they said, oh, my, it was your sister or your friend? I can't remember. It was your sister. Sister texted me, said, it's phenomenal. I'm like, I felt more pressure, all right? And so I'm feeling pressure. I'm like, listen, so if you're going to tell somebody, say, hey, it's all right. Put the bar low. That way I can exceed it, all right? So let's just do that. So anyway, so now, hey, we're starting a new series called ETA, Estimated Time of Arrival. If you have your Bible, if you'd open up to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 11. If you don't have your Bible, we'll have it on the screen for you here in just a moment. I want to thank you for your patience with our parking. As you can see, we are rocking and rolling. We are doing it as fast as we possibly can get done, while trying to make sure there's enough space. So I know it's a little messy. I know you washed your car yesterday. Now you got to go wash it again a little bit later today. But the Lord is testing your patience and your spirit. Anyway, no, a few more weeks from now, we'll get it all locked in. It'll be smooth and great. And so grateful for all of that. ETA. When I started thinking about ETA and this, and what are we talking about? Estimated time of arrival. Estimated time of arrival. Here's the principle. This is what I'm thinking as we're preparing for this. When you're on a journey and you're looking up the maps and you're trying to figure out where you're going, you're not where you started, but you're not where you're going. You're somewhere on the journey in the in-between. You're somewhere in transition. You're somewhere on the journey of this thing called life. By the way, never forget this. It's really not about where you start and it's not about where you finish. Life's really all about the journey. It's about all that happens in the in-between. Matter of fact, many of us, we never get to the destination because we didn't learn what we needed to learn on the journey. Because it's all about the journey. So we're going to dive a little bit deeper in scripture as we're going to read in just a second. But as I started thinking about ETA, I immediately went to just the way technology is going nowadays. I started thinking about it. And this is for all my 40 to 45 year and older, okay? So how many of you remember a time where there was only 6 channels on the TV station? Anybody remember? Come on in the house of God. And how many of you're like me? You were the remote control. Son, get up. Change it to 6. Okay. Y'all understood. Okay, y'all understood that. So, and so now there's 8,000 channels and there's nothing to watch, right? That's how it is now, right? And so also I thought about that and that wasn't all. How many of y'all remember dial-up internet? Come on, anybody remember? Come on, we have kids now that if they go to click on something that takes more than 3 seconds, they're like, Mom, I cannot live under these conditions. It's like a third world country. Okay, all right, I remember all those. And different deals, that's funny. But how about this one? How many of you, when you're driving, you used to always remember you had to bring a dime or a quarter with you? Because if something happened, you had to be able to go to a payphone and put it in there. And that's what we used to have that back in the day. And so, but I will say this, I really like technology. I really do. I love all the progression that's happening in technology. Matter of fact, you don't even realize this, but I'm not even real. This is AI. No, I'm just playing. I'm playing. But that day's probably coming. Pastor Jay, extra funny. Go. You know, I mean, that's probably coming. at one of these points. But no, I started thinking about I love a lot of technology things. One I love is the maps. Yes. Come on now, y'all. We do maps. Who remembers maps? Y'all remember maps? And it's like, hey, go over here. You stop here, and if you mess up, you messed up. Cost you it's an hour and a half extra time on you, right? But now I love on technology, man. You just go on there. You put maps in there. You don't have to think anymore. They tell you in half a mile, take a right. Hey, it's coming. Take a right. Hey, get ready for the right. Here's the right, and you take the right. And then you know. And if the dude gets on your nerves every once in a while, just make a woman talk to you. You don't like that? Make him British. And then the next thing you know, you feel all cultured as you're going, you know, to wherever you're going. And so I was just curious. So I looked up just a little while ago. I was sitting over here, and I said, do y'all know it's 2.8 miles from here to Buc-ee's? You know, Buc-ee's? And so, and if you needed to know, it's 9 minutes. It'll take 9 minutes to get to Buc-ee's. So if you leave right now, you'll get there at 12:01. Okay, because that's your ETA, your... Okay, come on, y'all have to work with me a little bit. It's our ETA, it's our estimated time of arrival. Well, let's jump into scripture, because there's an interesting in-between that I'm going to be teaching out of for the next several weeks. So it's this week, next week, and then we have Mother's Day. After Mother's Day, the week after will be Pentecost Sunday. And so we'll be preaching all through this in-between that we are actually in the time that we're in is what we're reading. What do you mean, Pastor Jay? A couple weeks ago, we celebrated Easter, right? Celebrated Easter, Jesus rose from the grave. In a couple weeks will be Pentecost Sunday. That's the book of Acts. We're going to read in just a moment. This is where Jesus had ascended into heaven. He told the disciples, wait, do not leave here till the Holy Spirit comes upon you. They're praying in the upper room. Holy Spirit comes down upon them, boom, the church is birthed. But there's an in-between night, and we're going to be studying the in-between. From the time Jesus rose, in scripture here, till the time the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Let's take this portion right now, verses 1 through 11, Acts chapter 1, and I'll read it, we'll go back through it, and we're going to learn some things today. And I think, I believe as I'm reading, we're going to see a pattern of what was Jesus doing in this in-between, and how does it impact us? What is he still doing in the in-between for all of us? All right, here we go. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside him. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, whom has been taken from you into heaven, will come back." Everybody say, "Come back." "In the same way you have seen him go into heaven." By the way, it's important that you know that we believe Jesus is coming back. Like, yes, Jesus ascended, but he's coming back one day. And when is that going to be? The Bible says no one knows the day, no one knows the hour. But there's a whole lot of people who keep trying to figure out the day and the hour. Maybe you don't remember this, but how many of y'all remember the eclipse just a few weeks ago, right? Now listen, when the eclipse was coming, I got all kinds of emails. And hey, is Jesus coming back? And man, there was some compelling stuff, man. And I don't know when he's coming back, right? And so I mean, there's some compelling things like, hey, the eclipse is going to cover here, and it's going to do a shadow in this direction, and it's going to put together a certain symbol that means this certain things, and there's two red heifers that are in Israel right now, and all that. By the way, that's all true. That's all true. All these different things. And so when the eclipse come, Jesus is coming back. Now, listen, I grew up in a church that Jesus was coming back every week. I did. I mean, it's like he come back Tuesday. Then when he doesn't come back, it's like, well, something happened. He come back next week, you know? I mean, it will. And so I got to be honest. If I'm just honest, in some ways, I'm not trying to minimize it. Jesus is coming back. And the signs of the times are a real deal. Matter of fact, I have a gentleman that's going to come in October, and I'm asking him to come and kind of give us a picture of the signs of the times so that we can be aware of some of these things. It's going to be real interesting and fun and fascinating. You're not going to miss that, but that's several months from now when that's coming. So all that being said, you know, I, at times, just if I'm honest, I've gotten a little cynical at times because people would say those things, although I know he's coming back, right? And so I remember I was walking that morning. It was on a Monday, and on a Monday, I take the day off, and so my wife and I, we have a date day. And so I was walking that morning, and as I'm walking, I'm just saying, I was praying. I said, Lord, I don't know if you're coming back today, but if you are, I'll see you in a little bit. And so then we decide to go to Brenham, okay? So it's a date day for us, and we went to Brenham to tour the capital of America, you know, the Bluebell Ice Cream headquarters. And so we went there to Bluebell Ice Cream. I heard about it, so we finally went, man, and we walking around Bluebell Ice Cream, and your pastor loves some Bluebell Ice Cream. Do not bring me any, okay? Do not bring me. Don't do it, but I love it. Okay, and so I'm sitting there, and here we are. It's the day of the eclipse, and it's 12 o'clock. So we walk outside right when it's happening. So we're out there. All the employees, people are stopping in the streets. Everybody's looking up at the and I'm sitting there with my butt of corn ice cream, and my wife standing next to me eating her ice cream. And as I'm sitting there eating, all of a sudden, no lie, okay, in the middle of it, all of a sudden over the speaker system at the headquarters starts playing Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi. Tommy used to work on the docks. And I'm just sitting here thinking, Jesus, if you come back right now, this ain't so bad. I got my butter pecan, I got my bride, and I got Bon Jovi playing Living on a Prayer. I'm like, let's go. You know, I was ready. It was awesome. So he's coming back one day. We see that just here, but I have a title for my message today that I think is going to help you. Talking about the in-between, and I titled it, Pass the Test, Get the Power. Pass the Test, Get the Power. Now, let me break it down. You'll find some of these things very interesting. Go back and check it out. You can study it a little bit yourself. So Jesus died, rose again. When he rose again, from the time he rose again, he went around and showed his disciples that he was who he said he was, all this. From the time Jesus rose again to the time he ascended back into heaven, it was 40 days. Exactly 40 days. Now, the number 40 throughout Scripture represents testing. Testing, okay? 40 days. Jesus, before he went into his public ministry, he went into the wilderness and was tempted for 40 days, okay? The children of Israel, when they left Egypt and they were in they were going ahead into the promised land, they were there for 40 years, okay? Noah, the ark, when it was rained and the earth flooded, it did not stop raining for 40 days and 40 nights. It was a testing. At 40 is the testing time. Jesus ascends into heaven, and from the time he ascended to the Holy Spirit came down. When he said, wait, don't leave, to the third part of the Trinity, Holy Spirit comes upon you, that was actually 10 days. 10 days. The number 10, there's a little bit of that goes back and forth as I did more studying about it, but the general consensus of the number 10 that we see throughout Scripture, the word is for order or divine order. Let me give you a couple things to help you understand that. The biggest one right off the bat, in establishing order, is the Ten Commandments. All right, the Ten Commandments, helping establish order. Here's another interesting fact. When God the Father spoke the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that, when he did all that, the Bible actually says, then God said, or then God spoke, and he said it 10 times. So all of the order that's been placed all throughout humanity and all the cosmos and all that, he said it 10 separate times. There's also recordings of the Passover lamb, whenever the lamb would be given and sacrificed for the sins of that family, they always had to do it on the 10th day of the month. It was order. It was establishing order. So 40 testing, 10 order, and then the 50th day, so when the actual Holy Spirit comes down, the word 50 means Pentecost. Pentecost, that's all it means. So sometimes you hear the word Pentecostal and your mind goes a certain direction. Pentecost just means 50. That's all it means. But this is where God's power came in that moment. So what happened in the in-between? What happened? What? I mean, everything Jesus did and does is purposeful. Everything in his scripture is purposeful. So when he rose from the dead, why didn't he just show a few people for a couple days and then take off? Well, there has to be something in there that his purpose was still going forward. There was still work to be done. There's still things that needed to happen in those moments. And so what were those things? Why did he stay 40 days and then say, don't leave for 10 more days? Why did he do all these things? And I want to show you what Jesus was doing, the principle of it, and then how it pertains to us. The first thing that we see, what was Jesus doing? The 40 days, the time of testing, during testing, Jesus is revealing. Watch this. During testing, Jesus is revealing. Revealing what? Whenever you walk through a test, and if you're in here and you're breathing, then you've either been in a test, going through a test, or about to go through a test. Be encouraged by in Jesus' name, right? We all have been tested walking through things, and you find out something. And you find out, number one, you find out a little bit more who you are during a test. You find out what's really in there. Sometimes when you go through a test, you're like, ooh, that's in there. Yes, it is. But if you lean into Christ, there's the potential now, not only do testing do you to get to know more about yourself, but if you lean into Christ, you have the opportunity to see more of God's character, who he is. Now this is really critical and important to understand. That's why Jesus, 40 days, that's a long time to hang around. And let's look at it, Acts 1:3. After his suffering, he, talking about Jesus, presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. There's something about testing that shows you something. There's something about testing that reveals something. There's something about testing that helps. Now, obviously, when I think of testing, the first thing I think about testing is I think about school, right? Right? Matter of fact, when I said testing, some of you had a triggered moment just now. But there are those few. I'll just ask the question. I don't mind. How many of you actually throughout your life, you enjoy taking a test? Who likes taking a test? Okay, all right. Father, help in Jesus' name. All right. Then there was a couple different types of people in here, and it's confession hour in church, all right? How about this? How many of you never had to study? If you just listened, then you would do well on the test. Come on, where are you at? Okay, we don't like y'all. Okay? How many of you had to study real hard to do well on the test? Where are you at? Right here. Okay, how many of y'all, just be honest, say, Pastor, I didn't listen or study, and so I don't even know how I got here. All right, so I'd like to tell y'all the truth that would be your pastor, okay? I was in that mode as well, but I graduated in the top 10% of the lower one-third of my class. All right, so moving on. All right, so maybe you're here, and you're going, it's true, but you know, just anyway. Maybe you're here, and your marriage is going through testing. Maybe you're here and your faith is going through a testing. Maybe you're here and just your foundation is being tested. Can I tell you something? I don't mean to sound insensitive when I say this. Good. I'm glad you're being tested. I'm glad you're walking through these things, because there's something that God does through the time of testing. If we lean into him, and I believe you are, or you wouldn't be listening to me right now. God, I need your help. God, I need you to speak to me in this moment. God will reveal parts of his character that you will never see on the mountaintop. You will only see in the valley in the time of testing. And God is showing himself and revealing himself to many. That's what he does in this testing. Because watch this about testing. What has not been tested cannot be trusted. It can't be trusted. It can't be trusted. I mean, if you went to go in for a surgery and doctor came in, you say, hey, doctor, so and he stopped. He said, wait, don't call me doctor. I'm not a doctor. But doctor, you're not a doctor. Well, who's going to do the surgery on me? Oh, me. I watched some YouTube clips. I think I got this. Oh, no, you don't. Get out. I need someone who passed some boards. I need someone who's walked through a process here. Because I can't trust it. So watch this. Those who God has trusted, God has often tested. God, trust me with more influence. God, trust me with more things. God, trust me with that blessing. Trust me with that relationship. Trust me, God will allow testing to come to prove you so you'll be ready for what he wants to trust you with. Now, this is important. Do not miss this. It's very biblical. You got to catch this. God does not tempt, but he allows testing. But he does not tempt. Well, what's the difference, Pastor? Well, temptation comes and it tries to allure you away from God. It promises you, oh, that relationship's better than the one you're in. Oh, that will give you some relief. God isn't who he said he is. And the whole goal of that is to go after your flesh and to draw you away from who God is. No. Testing is a time that God gives us something, and how we handle the thing that he gives us, what he puts on the inside of us in those moments is the thing that it holds us and it makes us ready and qualified to take the new thing that he has for us. Maybe some of us, we're not at the destination yet because we haven't allowed God to do what he's going to do in us yet through the time of testing. James 1 says this, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing, watch this, you know this. Maybe you're new to the faith and you didn't know this. Well, you're getting, now you're going to know it after this. Maybe you've been in the faith for a long time. Maybe you forgot this, but we know this, that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. See, all those years that I was a student pastor working with teenagers and they got to a place where they began to question things like their faith or different things like that. It's a little scary in the moment as a parent and as a youth pastor, but I've always been like, that's good. Because you want to know why? Because their faith is transferring from mom and dad's faith to their faith. They're going to be able to stand on. They're going through a time of testing in the middle of that. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, not lacking anything. Not lacking anything. So first thing we see, the 40 days, what was Jesus doing? He was revealing himself. He was revealing himself. Then he goes, and this is what's he doing during the 10 days? We talked about order. During testing, Jesus is revealing. During order, Jesus is restoring, and I'm going to add these other two, and establishing. Restoring and establishing. Okay, this. Let me tell you what I'm driving to. Let me read the scripture first. Acts 1, 6 and 7. Then they gathered around him and asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. Now, order, watch this. What are you driving to, Pastor? When we walk through testing and trials, and God reveals, he shows himself faithful. He shows himself good. He shows that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. He shows that no matter what may come against me, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He shows that he's a healer. He shows these things. You know what it does? It puts a confidence in our heart. It establishes an order in our heart. It says, you know what? You're never going to shake me off of it. Can I tell you, as your pastor, I believe every single person listening to me, watching me right now, this, that God has more for you, that greater is what's in front of you than what's been behind you. I believe that you will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. You will not be able to convince me otherwise. You want to know what? You can try. You want to know why? Because I've seen him do it. I've walked through the testing. I walked through the valley of the shadow of death. And I'm like, am I ever going to come out of this cave? And then when I did come out of the cave, I knew he was faithful and he was good. And he was with me the whole time. So if you're in a cave right now, if you feel lost right now, if you feel like you don't know if you're ever going to get through this, oh, you will. Pastor, you don't know my situation. How can you be so sure? Because God. I love that song that we sing. I've witnessed your faithfulness. I've seen you bring life again, so I'll pour out my praise. And I love the little bridge that says, you're good and I've witnessed it. You're strong and I've witnessed it. You saved and I've witnessed it. And watch this, and I'm confident. Oh, he's going to do it again and again. He's going to do it again. It sets an order in my heart. Y'all get? All right, no, watch this. Watch this. Order is authoritative command, direction, and instruction. Okay? So it's like, no. It's no longer hypothetical. It's no longer, what's the right word that I'm looking for right now? It's not just hypothetical. It's not just a formula. You've done it. You've walked it out. And it goes from information to revelation. It's in my heart. It's not going anywhere. And so maybe you're in here and anxiety is filling your heart with something. And God's revealed himself to you, and you can look at that same anxiety and say, why am I being anxious over this? God was faithful in the past. He'll be faithful again. Why do I feel these things? Watch how God has brought me through this, and it establishes it in my heart. Because, watch this, because where there's order, there's peace. Where there's order, there's peace. There's something about order that goes, so let me challenge you. If there's no order in here, if there's no peace in here, are things out of order? Is something on the throne of your heart other than God? If your hope is this world, you're going to be shaken constantly. You'll never not be. If there's no order, there's no peace in the home, then is God really Lord over the home? Is there disorder in that? Is there disorder in your company, in your business, on your team, whatever it may be? If there's chaos, that means there's no peace. That means there's no order. And so that's what we're always doing as a church. We're trying to submit to what does God have for us so that we submit in order so that we can have that peace. Imagine if you came to church today and you parked in the parking lot, and so grateful for our parking team who just, man, it was hard enough. And then we threw all these curveballs, like doing all this stuff. But it's going to be so much better when we're done in just a few weeks from now. And so all that, imagine if you did all that and you wrestled through that, and then you came in service and you were like, came to church and like you had all these kids, like, hey, where's the kids ministry at? I don't know, I think it's somewhere down like hall or something like that. Nobody could help you. And imagine if you got to the kids area and there was nobody in there, there was no toys, no nothing. It was just like a wall with padding, and you just throw them in there and hope for the best. Survival of the fittest, you know, going on in there. First you wouldn't even drop them off. Then you come in here and say, hey, man, what time's church start? Oh, I don't know, whenever they feel like it. What's pastor talking about? I don't even know if he's here yet. How many songs are we going to do? I don't know if they're even here. You'd be like, man, I'm out of here. You know why? There's no order. There's no peace. And there's something about order that brings peace. The time of testing reveals who God is. And as we see his character and we trust his character and we have evidence to see what he's done, it puts a peace in our heart. It puts an order in our heart. You know why it puts a peace? You know why they could wait 10 days when Jesus said, do not leave here until the Holy Spirit comes? Could you imagine if I told all of us and said, hey, listen, we're going to stay here and we're going to pray till the Holy Spirit's going to come. Pastor, when's he coming? I don't know. By day three. Might be by hour three. Some of y'all be like, Pastor, I got another plan. All right, how about we do something a little different here? Why could they do that? Because there was order. There was a peace that, because watch this. Because everything Jesus had said, they had seen. As you walk this journey long enough, you'll start to discover everything he says, you'll see. You may be going through some stuff. Stick with what he said, and you'll see it. It doesn't mean that problems won't go crazy around you, but he'll give you peace in the midst of those. You won't be by yourself in the midst of those. You'll see miracles. I can introduce you to people in our church. Miracles. Not some other church. Not, oh, I heard about something that happened in Maine. No, our church. I'll tell you about miracles. I could tell you about marriages that I'll just be honest with you. I've walked with a lot of people with marriages, and there's some marriages that I'm like, man, I don't know how this one's going to work out. And God completely restored it. Not just restored. They're like, Pastor, show me somebody else. Show me somebody else so I can help with this as well, which brings us into the last point is this. So the first one, Jesus is revealing himself through testing. He's establishing peace in our heart through order. And this is all that was happening in those 50 days. But then here we go. The third one is this. And Jesus is preparing you for his power. The testing, the order, the power. The testing, God's revealing who he is, establishing peace in your heart. And this is what typically happens. A lot of us in our lives, we're just trying to get the peace. We're just trying to get the peace. Just, God, help me get through all this stuff so I can just have peace. If you're just looking for that, that's good. I'm glad. I want you to have that. But that's not everything. He doesn't want to just fill you with peace. He wants to fill you with his power. Power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my, what word is that? Witnesses. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. What does a witness do? I'll tell you what happened. They've experienced it. What does a witness do? Hey, sir, do you promise to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth? So help me God. Yes, I do. What'd you see? He did it. Right? That's what a witness does. It's not creating something on your own. It's just shouting from the rooftops what you've seen and you've heard and what you've experienced. See, there's something about when you walk through the testing and God puts that backbone of steel in your spirit and in your heart so that you can walk in peace and walk in order, that now you turn around and you don't just do it for yourself, but you look to help somebody else. God fills you with his power to be a witness and say, hey, let me help somebody else. Let me see what God wants to do in their life. That, I mentioned a couple weeks ago of people who've come up to me in this church set free of addiction. And once they've been set free and God's revealed himself, they're like, Pastor, let me at them. They're like, Pastor, if you know anybody that's struggling with this, point them out to me. They're hopeless, point them out to me. I'll tell them. Why? Because I watched what God did. And I'm watching what he's doing in my life. And I'm here. I feel God's power on me to help somebody else. There's something about, and I want our church, yes, I want you to walk in peace. Yes, I want us to walk in peace, but I want more than that. I want us to walk in his power. You know why? Because we have a lost and dying, hurting world. You know what they need? They need some power. They don't need a nice little TED talk from a little pastor. Well, you know, this is how you have a better life. No. They need some power. I need something bigger than myself. I need something bigger than my thoughts. I need something bigger, all that. And all this, what was the pattern? The testing, the order, the power. What for? What's all this power for? Romans 9:17. I raised you up for this purpose. Here it is. Here's the purpose. That I might display my power in you. And, so that's not it, and that my name, Jesus' name, might be proclaimed in all the earth. This is his goodness. This is his faithfulness. He's done it in my life. He'll do it in yours. So this is how I want to end today. I want to pray for those who, you just feel like you're in the test. You're in the testing. You're walking through it, and hear me. The enemy of your soul during the testing will try to tell you every reason why to turn your back on God. Oh, that all that stuff that pastor says, if that's true, then why are you feeling X? He's the accuser of the brother, is what the Bible says. And he's trying to get that in. And during that testing, that you would say, no, I'm not losing faith. I'm going to lean into him. When he does, he's going to reveal himself, and you'll be walking in this power as we're talking.